Welcome to Next Level Healing. I'm your host, Dr. Tara Perry. For 25 years, I've helped professionals, first responders, celebrities, Olympians, teachers, moms, dads, and people just like you achieve their results better and faster than they thought possible. This is where measurable modern science meets the quantum. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive right in. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Next Level Healing. I'm your host, Dr. Tara Perry. Today, I am joined by Deborah Martin. She is a world-renowned intuitive healer, an international research lab certified medium with the Winbridge Research Center, and the author of 6 books. Her skills have been meticulously documented by the scientific community, most notably Dr. Gary Schwartz and Dr. Julie Beischel. Deborah is a spiritual coach, a survivor of 3 near-death experiences, and a cancer survivor. Deborah became a healer through her 3rd NDE. She developed a healing technique that is not done anywhere else in the world, where she combines her mediumship and healing abilities to embrace others with God's love, hope, and healing. She has been featured in numerous media, including 2 A&E documentaries and many radio shows. Deborah's message is that miracles exist, and there's always hope. Nothing is too big or too small to heal. What a fabulous message. Thank you and welcome, Deborah.
Thank you for having me. This is so wonderful. Thank you.
Your story is so spectacular, and I'd love to just start at the beginning when you sort of realized that your world was a little different than everybody else's. What was that like growing up for you?
Well, at the age, probably around the age of 4, I could see like faces come to me at night when I was sleeping. And well, kind of trying to go to sleep, I should say. And they would appear like right here. And I would get scared, like, who are you? What do you want from me? So I'd scream downstairs, can I come downstairs? I can't sleep. It's like, no, Deborah, go to bed, right? And it's not something you know how to explain. When you're little, you're just seeing this and it's like, this is scary. So I would turn over on my side. And I can remember I had a wooden dresser and I would remember their name, like if it was like Steven, I tried to take the S and tried to just concentrate.
How did you know they had a name?
I don't know. It just would come to me. It was like seeing the person, maybe they said their name. You know, I just knew it. It was just, as a child, it was just there. And I would start to draw. That was a great question, by the way. And start to just, you know, etch the S in my dresser. And that would take my mind off of them and I wouldn't focus on them. And I just turned that off because it was so scary.
Huh. And then what happened as you grew up? Did this happen for many years in your childhood? Did it ever get out of control? Or did you always feel like if you etched their name into the dresser or somehow that would keep them under control?
That would come and go. And then eventually they just stopped. And I believe they stopped because they weren't really getting my attention. And so I just learned to tune it off. And I never really opened that door. It just all of a sudden didn't exist for me. And I can remember when my father and my mother passed, my father had said to me, we were on the porch, sitting on the porch outside. And he says, you know, Deborah, your mom was sitting in the car with me today. And I was like, is he losing it? No. And I thought, screw, my dad's really, really grieving. And I never thought, I was 20. Yeah. And I thought, okay, wasn't really too sure how to figure that out. But later, after my father passed, that's when I, you know, thought, wait a minute, maybe he isn't. Maybe he was seeing my mom.
And how old were you when your dad passed?
I was 22.
Okay, so you lost your parents really early.
Very early.
And then 3 near-death experiences and then surviving cancer. What order did that take place and how did that shift your experience of what's real and what's not?
Hey guys, studies are showing that 68% of people that watch podcasts regularly don't click the subscribe button. Do me a huge favor. If you like this content, click subscribe so other people know where to go for the cool stuff. Thank you.
Each step of the way kind of molded me into the healer I am today. And so the first one is when I really wasn't using mediumship. I was started to do meditations with girls, like a set of girlfriends. And I was always kind of like the one that would be the voice and kind of like, oh, I feel this energy, you know, just kind of enjoying an evening together. And it was a night, the same night Princess Diana passed. And I was out with a group of girls. And we watched that all on the screen. I bet you everybody can remember when that happened. And I can remember it's time to get into the car. And I was a single mom of three. And it was a sports car. And I had to sit in the back. And I just had this strong feeling, like, don't get in the car. And they're like, Deborah, you're just freaked out because of what you just saw on TV. Nothing's going to happen. So at this time, I didn't even know what a premonition was. I didn't even know that any of this existed or even to follow my gut. I had no idea. And so I get into the car. And as we're driving down the freeway, we're in the slow lane and there's a van that's in the fast lane. Now, I didn't see that van at first, but I had another premonition. And I didn't even think it was a premonition. I didn't even question it. It was like, you're going to be hit. And I said, no, 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 not right now. I'm a mother of three. They need me. Just no, stop, no. And at that moment, we were hit. He was coming off the freeway and he didn't check the lanes and he clipped us. And we took out 40 feet of guardrail and we spun and now we're facing traffic and we're stuck. And I'm like, this is scary. We can't get out. Our doors are crushed. The passenger in front of me, my friend, her car seat broke into me. The driver's seat had broke her leg. And we were just kind of panicked. Then out of nowhere, this gentleman comes. And like, it was like out of a movie. Oh, well, let me just open the door. Right? And you're like, how do you do that? And he carried us each. He carried the person with the broken leg to the curb. And then he carried me and my other friend down off the embankment. And I can remember looking at him. I cannot tell you what he looked like. But I can remember him saying, you're going to be okay. And you'll see me again. And I was wearing this one ring on my finger. And it was a strong metal ring. And I pressed on it. And I was like, this really hurts. My finger's bleeding. Can you help me get it off my finger? He took it in his mouth like this, a bloody finger. He bit it, bent it, took it off, kissed me on the forehead, and went away off to the left.
And you still have this ring.
I do, with the teeth marks. I should have brought it, yes. So then I looked to the right. We had like five fire trucks. We had ambulances, everything. And as I looked to the right, when I looked to the left, he was gone. And nobody ever knew where this gentleman even existed. But I had his teeth marks. So that kind of opened my whole door up. What was that? Was that what does premonition mean? I started going to Celebrate Your Life to learn more about domain virtue and James Von Prague and reading all the books. And so that accident kind of opened up my spirituality.
You know, that reminds me, I knew a fellow who was Red Bull's only certified stunt pilot. He did barrel rolls in his Cobra. And he went to Mount Ararat several times looking for Noah's Ark. And one time they got stuck up there, and he was a very, he was definitely a man of faith. And so they were on top of this mountain, and there was not enough air for the chopper wings to get grip, and it's very dangerous territory, the countries that it's sandwiched in there. And so they got word that the enemies were coming up to get them, and he was terrified, but he prayed. And out of nowhere, this crazy looking fellow shows up, which he's got a picture of in his little book, and just showed up out of nowhere, guided them to safety, and then vanished. So you hear these stories.
Yeah. And it impacts you so much that you know that it was real.
So did the other people in the vehicle also see this person?
Yes.
And how did it impact them having this person come out of nowhere? rescue
well,
you guys.
But Dreyer really didn't want anything to do with thinking that it could be like divine intervention. And just kind of, I don't want to talk about it. And the other person, yes, she embraced it and was like, oh my God. You know, I know I said not right now before even the impact. Like, how did I know to say that? And then bam. It's like, it's too, something was happening where my subconscious knew more than what I knew what was going on.
And then how did that go into the rest of your life? How did things shift and change before your next near-death experience?
So that, like I said, opened my door to my spirituality. I started looking into what is a medium? What is, you know, the afterlife? Can we communicate? Is spirit real? Like all of that. And that goes back to even my father seeing my mother thinking, okay, these people are seeing loved ones. So it wasn't until years later that I started dabbling with my mediumship. And I started like just doing it for friends and neighbors and friends of friends to see like, am I getting what's correct? And just didn't think too much of it, but I knew that what I was getting was correct and just was leaving it kind of at a very slow pace. Yeah. Until my next car accident. And so that one came along and I was going to my friend's house and I had turned into a turn bay, you know, like a left turn bay waiting to cross the street, just sitting there. I had no premonition this time, nothing, just waiting for the cars to pass. And before I knew it, I was in another dimension looking down at what was happening to me. I had been hit by a man that was in a diabetic seizure. It was going about 65, 70 miles an hour, and I was at a stop. So my car spun into oncoming traffic. So what I saw and what I heard was I'm in this other dimension. I feel this great being behind me and said, are you ready? And I knew are you ready meant to leave this world. I said, no. Once again, you know, I've got my three kids. And I was, at that point, I was just engaged like over the weekend. But I said, I'm not going to survive that. I looked down, I go, I'm not going to survive that. There was a vehicle, a truck carrying trailer equipment behind him. And it should come on top of me and crush me. And as soon as I said, no, that's not going to. I'm not going to survive.
So you were looking at this as it had already happened?
As it's happening. So
okay.
I'm seeing this other this truck. Here's me.
Slowed down?
You know, the car. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to survive that. That car is coming and it's going to crash me. Like, I'm just not going to survive that. And before I knew it, I was in the back seat of my four-door car that was now two-door. I scrunched in a little pocket like I was in the first vehicle. All windows, everything in the car was blown out into the street. And I had this police officer at my door saying, are you okay? Are you okay? Now I opened my mouth. I had a mouthful of glass. And there was another gentleman standing by the door. And he goes, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I was trying to get you off the road. We were in pursuit to get this diabetic man in a seizure, and you were the one that came, you know, got him to stop. At that moment, he asked the guy next to him, are you okay? Because he was pretty shooken up, and I don't remember what he looks like either. And he said, no, I'm not okay. I should have crushed her. I don't know what happened, but something took my steering wheel and put me into oncoming traffic. At that very moment when he said that, I remembered that. And it was like, okay, something bigger just happened here. You know, then I go to the hospital and, you know, I didn't really have any injuries and they were shocked. They were strapping me down. They're like, you're going to have internal injuries. You couldn't have walked away without, you know, any scars here. We have to just be careful. And I literally didn't even get an x-ray. The doctor was just like, I'm just going to send you home. I'm thinking, is this right? They were telling me I could have internal injuries and they're just sending me home. So that whole thing started my whole path to open my mediumship even more, because now I was in another dimension. Now I did hear a voice. Now I know that this exists. Now I'm not just studying it. I was there. So I contacted Dr. Gary Schwartz after I read the book, The Afterlife Codes by Susie Smith. I read that whole book. And at the end, she talks about Gary Schwartz. Now, he adopted her as his grandmother. So I thought, well, I'm going to email him at U of A. I'm going to tell him that Susie Smith has a message for him. And that's what did it. Dr. Julie Beischel showed up at my... Yeah, go ahead.
So Susie Smith had already passed over. And she was connecting with you to connect with Gary Schwartz.
Yeah, she said, just tell him you have a message from Susie Schwartz.
Did you initiate the communication with Susie?
Oh, or did said, she... Because I'm like, oh, you know what? There's a connection here between Gary and Susie. And I know that I have to call. I know I have to reach out. And she says, just say these words.
Oh, my goodness. And how did he receive that?
So he received it and sent Dr. Julie Beischel to my house. And we were sitting. And I can remember her looking at me. And she goes, I have a message to give to you. And I said, what? And she said, well, Susie Smith was the founder of the lab, the research lab. And she told us that the mediums that would come, she would be the one sending them.
Whoa.
That's exactly my response. I was like, what? I didn't really realize this. Like, she was pushing me that much. But here she was the one orchestrating it. And yeah. So then I went through the whole testing process with them. And
which is extensive. I'd love you to just explain to our listeners what that's like, because I mean, the double blind study in medicine is considered the gold standard. And not only are they double blinding it, they're triple blinding it and quadruple blinding it, which is very exciting that somebody can go through that like yourself and actually pass, which I would indicate that it's, I don't know, a million to one, a billion to one, that it can be anything other than what it purports to be. So would you explain what that process is like?
Well, I'd like to tell people that it's on the Winbridge research site, the winbridge.org, so that they can go and actually read how the whole protocol was, in case I don't get it all straight. Because I'm not the scientist, I'm just the protocol here. So anyway, what happens, I can give you a little brief idea, is so Dr. Julie Beischel was the one that ran it. And then there was another person working with this, and he would get contact the parents. So there would be like two different readings, right? So you'd have two different boys or two different men. You don't know their age. And so then what he would do is he'd pass it to the next person who knows nothing, and he would pick one and give it to me. So there's no way that anybody, I could read through any of it. Julie gets it first, then this person, then me, right? So then I get it, and I have a list of questions I have to sit with for like a week if I want, or a couple days. And you have to describe the age, what they look like, personality, what they did for work, if you know how they passed, just anything that would be a message to their loved one, and who would that loved one be? And you submit it. Well, and you might get another one, and you do it, and you submit it. And then what they do is then the other person that doesn't know anything will sit and pass two of those readings, not mine. I mean, this, it was another medium. And they give the sitter, the mom, dad, or whoever lost the loved one, two of them. And they say, pick which one's yours and score it. And that's how we were scored.
Wow. I'm definitely going to check that out. I think that's fascinating.
It is fascinating because there's no debunking it. You just can't. And that's, to me, science has my backbone, right? Because if you're going to help people, you don't know if what you're getting is true, but now they kind of gave me the courage and the strength to know, yes, what you're doing is correct.
That's very nice. Yeah.
One of the fellows that I've interviewed, which I love the work that people are doing these days to take the things that were in the realm of, you know, okay, maybe they're real, maybe they're not, and quantify them scientifically, so that people can have faith that, you know, it truthfully is what it purports to be. So that's very exciting. I'm so glad that you're sharing that with us. And then, so how did that, how long did that process take for you?
That was a long process. I don't know how long.
Months, years?
It was probably a couple of years, like at least a year, because, you know, they had to grade them. And then we actually then would talk with the sitter and do a phone conversation too. So there was a lot involved. And then I'm not the only medium that they're testing, right? So they're testing a bunch of us. So that took a long time. But yes, it was great to get the certification.
And what was it like to finally get that message, that email, that thing in the mail that said, congratulations, you passed? And did they give you a score, like on a scale of 1 to 100 or something?
So what they would do is they had a certain piece of paper that would show where you were scored, like how the sitter scored, and then where your percentages were. It's funny because Gary Schwartz would always say, you're like the Michael Jordan of mediumship.
Beautiful. That must have been so beautiful for your confidence in realizing that, yes, this actually pans out in 3D reality.
Well, it helped too, because my former husband was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You know, because I wasn't doing it when we first got engaged. And now I'm opening this door. And he's like, why are you contacting him? And why would he want to talk to you? So to have that kind of feedback, then he could really go, oh, all right. Even if I don't want to believe it, go ahead and do it, right?
Wow. And so after that, how did you reach out? Do people contact you based on word of mouth? Do you give lectures? How do people, I mean, you've written 6 books. Can you tell us about those and how people find you and what people are getting out of the experience of working with you?
So I now, because of my third ND, I do my mediumships, not like a traditional reading. So I combine my readings with my healing sessions. And so I'll sit in the morning and receive messages and be kind of just have my day with their loved one. And then when I go into the healing session, I'm going to give them the messages first. And then when we get into the session, now you could be anywhere in the world, right? You're not on Zoom with me. You're in your own space. I'm in my space. I'm recording everything. It's all audio. And what's fascinating with that is many times they're feeling exactly what I'm feeling. So when they listen to it, they're like, what? How? And that's what makes it so profound. People are like, you don't want me to be watching? I'm like, no, that's a distraction. You want it to be in my sacred space, you in your sacred space. And some people are working, right? They can't take that time out. They're sleeping. Energy holds for them for when they're ready. But what's fascinating with the mediumship then is I'll see them come in the room for the healing. I'll see them hold their hand. I'll see them maybe bring an article that, like, this is a ring that I gave you. Or there's times where I get to take them on a spiritual journey like I did, where I went to another dimension. And it's like a vision that's given to me. I can see it clearly in my mind. And we go to this space. I describe it. We meet with them. I had people say, I felt their actual body. I smelt them. I kissed them. We have a conversation with them. It's like, there's no words to really describe it. It's like, I'm always as the witness, because now I get to be the witness seeing this, but wow.
And so, Deborah, not only did you have 3 NDEs, but you also dealt with cancer. What was that like for you?
Let me tell you, it was kind of a shocker.
Was that after all the NDEs or in the middle?
It was after. I felt like the best that I've ever felt in my life. I was fit. I was strong. Everything was going right. Now, I had been struggling with a hemorrhoid for a while, and I went in like on November. And when I went in November, I said, I have this hemorrhoid, and this doctor kind of watched the hemorrhoid and whatnot for a while. And she said, no, there's nothing we need to do about this. Just go home. And I'm like, really? I think it should come out. He's like, no, just leave it alone. So I did. And 4 months later, in February, I wake up to spirit saying, you need to get this out now. And I'm like,
wow,
what? And when you hear a voice that tells you, you know, we walk around as telling ourselves, I need to unload the dishwasher. I need to go to the grocery store. That's our ego. But when you hear somebody say, you, spirit talking to you, listen. And so I made the appointment right away. And I'm like, I'm going to get it out. So I remember being in the office. She goes, Daryl, why are you here? And I said, for the hemorrhoid. I told you, we're not going to remove it. I go, I want it removed. And she goes, no, we're not going to remove it. And I go, all right, we'll look at it. And she argued with me. And she's like, yeah, it's inflamed. And I said, I would like to get it removed. She goes, well, you're going to be in pain anyway, even if I take it out. I go, intuitively, I need to have it removed. So I can remember the awkwardness of her in my face, bent over, going, you don't want to do this. And I said, no, I have to do this. So I asked to see it. And it's really an important message for people. You are the advocate for your body. You know 100%. Your body more than anybody else knows your body. So doctors are still learning. Okay. So they don't know everything at all. And so I can remember getting the call. She actually was thinking about not sending in for biopsy either. And so we finally got her. She said, no, I'll just send it in. So what happened then is...
So you pushed her to send it for biopsy. So you said, I want it out and I want a biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, and I remember looking at it. It looked like a lima bean that was dead. So I thought, oh, it's probably nothing, right? Just needed to come out. So I remember I was on FaceTime with my older daughter and my younger daughter was with me. And those two are going to continue FaceTiming. And I was going to go off to drive to my hair appointment. So I get out of my gate. I'm driving down the road and I get this call. And I'm like, oh, I probably better answer that. I think that's the doctor. So I push, you know, hello. And she's like, Deborah, where are you? And I'm like, I'm driving. She goes, is there any way you could go home right now? And I said, no, there's not. But I can pull over. And so when I pulled over, she's like, I'm really, really sorry. I'm just really, really sorry. And she starts backpedaling, like, I didn't want to even take it out. I can't even. And I'm like, kind of holding my breath, like, tell me. And she's like, it came back. You have cancer. We need you to come in the office. We need to set you up with a radiologist and an oncologist. And, you know, your brain starts, you just heard the C word. And I said, okay, I'll be in. I think it was 2 days later. So I drove back home and I remember sitting on the couch blank and they're still FaceTiming. They're like, Mom, what's wrong with you? Did you just get a car accident? Are you okay? And I literally couldn't say the words. And so I get it out and they're just crying like, oh my gosh, like life is ending. The big moment there is I learned it is hard to voice. And when somebody has cancer, some people like to share it with others. Like they want everybody to know. For me, I didn't. I wanted a certain group of people. And I actually had one person that said, you know what? He had lost his son and he had said, it was so hard for me to voice it to others. Why don't I be your voice to tell our friends? I was so grateful for that. Mm. And I chose not to tell others because I didn't want this, did you hear about what's happening with Deborah Martin? I was so worried about energy. Mm. And I was protecting the energy to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did have to go through radiation. I did have to go through chemo. And I used to call it my beast. And so I remember... the doctors, I was like, I need to know that these are the right doctors. I met my radiation doctor. His name was my son's name. Met my oncologist. Her name was my daughter's name. And I'm like, okay, thank you, Spirit. I just knew. So I came to the question of God, why I'm a healer? Why would I, now why wouldn't I, but why do I have to take on this now? I've had 3 NDEs. Is this my time? Will I pass? And I came to peace that all would be well either way. And that freed me from trying to figure out what way it's going to be. Just be in the moment. Difficult times where I could barely walk. I couldn't go to the grocery store. You know, chemo was taking me down. I couldn't eat. I would have to find one piece of joy in every day just so that would lift my vibration. Could it be a bird coming to the window? Could be, you know, when I first got to do laundry again, I was like, oh my God, I can do laundry. Like, when you lose the ability of everything, those little things become little bits of joy. So as I went through, many people will say, we're going to fight cancer. We're going to fight it. You got it. You know, kick its ass. All right. It didn't work for me. So this is our sacred body. Why would I be mad at it? It's done so much for me throughout my years. So I had to start saying, you know, you've been so good to me. So now you're here inside me. What do you want me to learn from you? What do you want me to learn from you? And instead, I would go to the spot, you know, in that area, and I would just place my hands there and send love to it. And I really believe that love heals. Kind of like when you take care of a child, you embrace them and they feel comforted. Comfort the body where it's feeling. Frustration causes resistance, but love heals. Mm-hmm. And then you become calm with it and you can connect with it and you can talk to it. And I did. And I found my beauty in the beast in the end. And what I learned from it was, I thought I had a lot of compassion when I was doing my healing sessions, but I can tell you it took me to a whole nother level.
Wow.
Because now when I'm helping someone that's going through any type of cancer, I walk the walk. I can understand it. I can hold their hand through it. I'm not on the other side of the door looking in, trying to figure out what they're going through. And there's so many times people say, you just get it. And that's why I needed to continue to go in a higher level. It ended up being a blessing and not a curse.
Wow. What a powerful message. It's so crazy how often we hear that from people that go through some major challenge on whatever level it is, that there's a blessing in it.
That's why I try to tell people, like, don't lose hope, because everything can be reversible. Hope will appear out of nowhere. What's the process? Healing can be a process. It can happen right away, or it can take some time. You didn't get there overnight. And I just think that it's important too to not own the title that we talked about before, and to love yourself, love your body, and just enjoy those moments. But I think it's just really important that we look at the challenges that we're going through as lessons and opportunities for lessons, opportunities for growth, because I would have never thought that. But now afterwards, I see the blessing in it. So we never see it when we're in it. You know, it can take us down. It can drag us through the mud. But when we look back at it, we're like, wow, I never knew how much courage I had until I walked through it.
This really is like Earth school, isn't it?
Yes, it so is. And if you think about it that way, it's just like, I don't want to say too many things, because I don't want to say, I want to have every experience, because I don't need every experience, right? Be careful with our words.
That's right.
But enjoy the experience. Enjoy the ride. I remember this little boy telling me when he passed, How did he say it? He said, "How are you going to like this game called life?"
The little boy said this to you?
Yeah, he had passed, and
how are you going
I enjoyed the game of life. How are you going to enjoy the game of life?
And this was somebody that you knew or didn't know?
With, yeah.
Oh, wow. And so how did that feel to receive that question?
It was very profound because it's like the game of life. Think of it. We're living a game of life. A game of life, however you want to say it. But it was...
You know, it's so funny when you said that. I can see a picture of this boy painted on the wall with some kind of phrase like, how are you going to play the game of life? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Yeah.
Yeah,
so beautiful in your living room or your treatment room or something.
I might have to do that. Yeah. I'll put his picture there. He touched my heart, touched my soul, will always be within me. And just those words you just never forget.
So gorgeous.
It makes us think about how do we want to live our game of life? How do we want to play it? How do you want to play it?
And it's precious.
And so,
thank you so much for sharing that story.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like I said, some of my greatest hardships have been my biggest blessings. So,
and if we can just hold that perspective as it's happening to us, which is not always the easiest, but
no, but I also feel like we're human and we have to go through that human experience. We have to feel frustrated. Like when I say don't be frustrated, you have to be frustrated. You have to go through those are your human emotions. Those are real. You have to be sad. You have to feel to heal. However, how long are you going to do it? And ask yourself, how is this serving me? I've been doing this for months. Enough is enough. Or just allow yourself so much time each day.
Perfect. Right. Feel it, but then don't nurse it.
Exactly. Well, thank you for asking me about my cancer.
Well, thank you for sharing that. So I'm hearing two sets of things going on. One is connecting with somebody who passed over and the other is healing. Do people contact you either for one or the other? Is it always both?
No. So they can have a healing session, private session, and then they could add the reading onto it if they want to connect with a loved one at the same time. And some people want to have that loved one there. Like, I'll feel more comfortable knowing they're in the room, you know, to be there with me.
And I know I jumped ahead a little bit because I know you had a third NDE in there, which explains the healing a lot more. Can you tell us what kind of situation you were in and how that third NDE came about?
Yeah, so in my third NDE, what happened was I was... sick, very, very sick. I ended up being like 98 pounds where I couldn't eat anything. I was probably even less than 98. I stopped weighing myself. I couldn't eat. I lost the ability to have my bowels. Like I was wasting away is what I felt. And doctors at Mayo Clinic could not figure out what was wrong with me. And so what I did was I started saying, God, I'm just ready to go. Now I had fourth child. So I had a child that was like in third grade at the time. And so to hear me even think about that right now, I can't imagine, right? Like I would never want to leave right now. But you're at that point where it kind of teaches you what people are going through in their last days. They're just, they love you, but it's what they're ready to do. They're ready to go. And so you remember one day, I was in my bedroom because I didn't leave my bedroom. I was always in like a fetus position. And I can remember seeing spiritual surgeons come into my room.
And this is at the Mayo Clinic?
No, this is now at my home.
Oh, so you went from Mayo
to
home.
So I was at Mayo. I lived close enough where I could go get different tests back and forth. So I didn't have to stay at Mayo. So I remember seeing them. I wasn't afraid because, you know, they come showing themselves in scrubs and I'm a medium. I see spirit. So I'm like, okay, what are you here for? And they started to work on me and they started to work in my abdomen. And I can remember it being really, really painful. You're going into the right side. And it was as if you imagine like a straw and a strawberry stuck in the middle and you have to squeeze that out, right?
Yeah.
I remember being in so much pain going, how am I going to endure this?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm just going to remove my mind from it. So when I did, I just took a deep breath in like this. And as I let out, I transcended out. And I remember floating and going, oh, this is nice. And I felt really good. I felt like, okay, this feels really good. I feel safe. I feel not afraid. And I came to a space where it looked like I was standing on clouds. And as you stand on clouds, you're looking around and there's nobody here. And I'm like, okay, now what? Where am I? What is this about? And I remember this light coming closer and closer and closer to me. I was like, okay, all right. I wasn't afraid of it. But then I saw these hands come like this and returning. And now I see that I'm being held with my hair draped down and just carrying me. And I'm like, okay, am I watching as the spirit God carry my body? So I proceeded to follow. And God placed me on a beam of light. It looked like a balance beam, just a beam of light, pushed me right there. And next to it was a coffin. It was a glass coffin. I kind of joked and said, can I go in there? Can I see what it's like? It's like a snow white glass coffin. And I'm like, Deborah, you probably shouldn't do that. So meanwhile, I hear you need to follow me. So I followed him and we went to it looked like a dome. And we were going inside. And I said, why do we have to go inside? I was full of questions. He's like, so nobody else in the universe will hear this. This is between you and I. And I go, okay. So I don't think anything of it. You're just going through the process. You don't think like, okay, we're going to sit down at a table. I sit down at a table and I feel this being behind me. And I see like my lifeline contract in front of me. And I didn't know what it was. I was like, what is this? He goes, that's your lifeline contract. You're on borrowed time. You've been on borrowed time. And I'm like, okay. So I'm ready to stay. I'm healthy. And I said, can I see my parents? He's like, no, you can't see your parents. I'm like, okay. And he said, well, we can change your contract here, but you'll go back with a new mission. And one of the things that he wrote down was like health. And I questioned health is not enough for me. It had to say healthy. And one was like voice. And I thought, oh, I'll be a voice. I'll be the medium. I'll use my mediumship. That's my mission. This is easy enough. So I remember signing it and I wrote 12. All numbers are reversible. And so is this. When I said that, I remember God saying to me, I'm signing it too. Like we were taking an oath together. And that was beautiful. So when we took this oath, then I said, now can I see my parents? And he's like, no, if you see your parents, you'll never leave. And so I was like, can I stay here for a while? Because I'm not feeling any pain. This feels great. It's like, no, you need to go back. And when I went back, I can remember going back into my body. And I could feel like my body going in like this and going, ah! Like you just came out from like being held underwater. And at that moment, I go, am I the same person? There's no spiritual surgeons in the room. I didn't heal immediately.
You did not heal immediately.
Things were lessened. And I never found out what the illness was.
Did you have a mark on your body from the surgery or
no?
You just felt
I was exhausted and I knew that I had to write everything down. I was afraid that I was going to forget it, which just won't forget moments like that. So what ended up happening then is I asked God, like, how come I never found out what the true diagnosis was? Because you know, people in loved ones, friends, if you don't have a diagnosis and the doctors don't think, you know, they can't find anything wrong, then they're like, you don't really have anything wrong. But you know you do because you're suffering, right?
It seems with gastrointestinal issues, there's so much that Western medicine doesn't know and doesn't diagnose properly.
Yes. So I really feel it had something to do with my pancreas because it was that painful. And what God said to me that day was, If you would have been labeled with something, you would always say and believe that you owned it. So it became such a pivotal and strong moment for me, for others. You don't want to know the diagnosis. And if you do know the diagnosis, don't give the title power, because that's a human term that we came up with. That's not a God term. And that's why I say everything's reversible, because it's just, we hear a term, we hear Alzheimer's and go, oh gosh, right?
And then we surrender our power
and immediately. And it gives it power, correct. So eventually I did heal. It took about 6 months total, which isn't long. And that's opened my door to being a healer. And so the voice that I heard, remember, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be the medium. That's easy. Oh, no. Life was not easy. I ended up losing everything that I had, stability. My former husband's like, I can't do this walk with you. I need to honor myself and I need to honor you. If you want to do this, you know, I can't be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. So that was really, really hard, because we had a strong, strong relationship, but not strong enough to do the walk together.
How old were your kids at that time?
3 of them were out of the house already, and graduated college. And the other one was in middle school.
Mm.
So it was difficult. Starting all over. And I was like,
but you never looked back. You had a clear sense that this is who you were and your mission. And
it was like who I was. It was like, at that point I thought, well, if I don't do this, I took an oath, well, then am I done? Right? Which I don't think I am, but it was that strong. Like, it didn't matter what anybody else said. It's just, this is what I have to do. And so that voice now, it's the voice coming through me. I know nothing about you. People will come without telling me anything what they're dealing with, and it will all come through. And
so you don't want to know anything about the person you're reading?
Because some people really feel more comfortable saying, this is what I need. So I say, okay, we're going to put everything that you want to say, and I'll put it into my prayers, release it, give it to God. But we won't limit it to that, because we don't know where that came from. That could be a root cause, or it could be trauma, whatever that is. So I'm happy to do whatever the person wants. Some people will be like, nope, I don't want you to know anything, because then I know that with a shadow of a doubt, it's coming from the divine. And I call it the divine God, but there's every term is the same, because I believe that God is love and that love heals.
And I've also heard in previous interviews that your experiences is that often people are guided to you from the loved ones that have passed over that want to be connected and want that person healed. Is that correct?
Yes. I trust that everybody that comes to me is guided to me. I give gratitude to each and every person. Like,
are they guided by people that have passed over, or by their higher intelligence, or by God, or all of the above?
All of the above. Yeah, there'll be times if there is a loved one that they're going to connect with, most of the time they're the ones that's nudged and, oh, your name appeared on my computer, or, you know, I saw you on TV, or the weirdest thing, I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard your voice on the radio, you know?
Yeah.
And so it just makes me smile every time, because it's like, okay, I know that loved one has orchestrated this for both of us.
Mm-hmm. And you dedicate your day to working with that person, because it's quite a bit to be downloading this information, and you want to have that block of time for that individual. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I only like to do one session a day, because if I'm going to go into any type of healing or reading, I want to prepare myself all morning. I want to be balanced. I go into the session, I never know how I'm going to feel. Sometimes I feel fine afterwards. Sometimes I'm completely wiped out where I need to sleep. So that wouldn't be right for me to do another session, because I don't have the full energy for somebody. It also wouldn't be right for myself. So I'm honoring both. And it's my way of keeping balance, but it's also my way of saying, you know what? I keep your picture in my healing room for the remainder of the day. Today's your day. So you will continue to heal. So maybe they have to sleep through the whole day. You know, it's just amazing what we both will feel at the same time. I had one person, she was actually in her space and she had a witness with her. And I started feeling like I was going to throw up bile. I can remember saying, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up. And I'd voice it. It's bile. It's coming up. It's bile. She had bile duct cancer. And at the same time I was throwing up, she was throwing up bile.
Mm.
Like you can't make that up. Right. Mm. And all of these NDEs have gotten me to the place where I trust 100%. Mm-hmm. Right. I have to be fully in, fully invested, fully trust to tell somebody who lives across the world, I'm going to send this MP4. Oh, you have a kidney bag and it's sticking out and I know nothing about you, but this is why, you know, and they'll be like, how did you know that?
What are some of the strangest things you've gone out on a limb and said, I have no idea why I'm downloading this, but this is what I'm downloading. And do you share that and got cooperation on that?
I think one of there were a couple. One was, and this was years ago, one was a lady that could barely make it to the session. Like, I mean, lived for the day of her session. And she had cancer. So she's in her sacred space. I believe she was from, she might have been from Australia. So anyway, I'm doing the session and I get this vision. And the vision is this. I see her. I'm like, okay. But now I see a little girl, probably around 4 to 6 years old. And I go, oh, that's you and you as a child. So now I'm seeing what happened as a child, trauma. She was losing her mother and her father was angry with her. I would get very angry. This is wild because now I'm voicing this and I said, and your father took you outside and he shot your puppies in front of you. Now, like you reacted, that's how I react. I'm seeing this. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to voice this. This is what I'm seeing. This is what's happened to you. I'm so sorry. But I know that she's healing this part. So then what happened then is she came, she listened to her recording and she emailed and said, oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And then when we have childhood trauma, we push it down, push it. And sometimes we think, oh, we just healed that. We moved on. That was her root cause. And she healed completely. And it was just like
beautiful.
Crazy. Another crazy one was where this person, this is when I used to do them in person. And she came in and she had a hernia. And she was going to go for surgery and she just wanted to make sure, like, can we get rid of the hernia? Can we make it better? And all of a sudden, this spirit, this girl that looks just like her is in the room. And I'm like, there's a girl here. She looks just like you. And she's telling me she's your twin. And she's like, I'm really sorry. When we were in the womb together, we chose to come together and I bailed on you. I abandoned you. And that's why you have the hernia, because you feel abandoned.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And so she knew nothing about this, but she always felt like she wanted to be a twin. And do you know, she went back to her mother, asked her mom, Mom, this is what I did. I went for a healing. This is what this person said. And the mom goes, yes, there was supposed to be two, but then there was only two sacks and the baby wasn't there. And I just think there wasn't any reason for me to share that with you.
Mm, so interesting.
Right? Like, so some of these things are so far-fetched. I never know what I'm going to get in every healing. And I'm always, always in awe. Always with everything that transpires. There's not one healing that I went, okay, that didn't work. I'm just always like, whew, wonder what they're going to think of that one.
That's so awesome. And you're a prolific book writer. What are all your books on? I guess people can go on Amazon and get them.
Yeah, they're all on Amazon and you can get them through my website at goldenmiracles.com.
Uh-huh. And what do you find like the best one for people to get started with understanding, you know, how you and how this works and the change their relationship to 3D reality so that they can experience more love and more God and more bliss?
Well, I really like my book, Proof of Miracles, because I kind of combined it. I used the readings of my healings and healings, and I worked with the clients to write their story so that when you're reading it, I've had so many people go, oh my God, I've resonated with that story. So that they're being healed from that story that's being said because it seems so much like theirs. And so, and then I go on and tell how I work and everything in that book.
Beautiful. Thank you. And the website again is, we'll put it in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, goldenmiracles.com. I have all my social media and everything on there too. And if they want to meet me like this, I do host and it's called Army for Love. It's a free Zoom first Tuesday of every month at 3 p.m. And in Arizona, we change from Pacific time to Mountain time. So it's Arizona time, I'll just say. But it's wonderful to meet people. And I do a mini healing at the end of the hour. And we have seen healings, miracles happen and within that little mini session. It's been remarkable.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. So people can either reach out and set up a one-to-one with you or they can experience something in a group healing with you.
Yes, they can do a group healing. The Army for Love is just like a global free thing. But I also do groups. You're right. I do group healings. And that's fabulous too, because we're all holding hands around the world with the same intention. And they're so profound. And it's wonderful to hear like all the synchronicities. I get to read and go, oh my gosh, we have like six people here that have, you know, a knee issue or a bladder issue. And I always know that they're guided to form this circle or this group.
That is so beautiful. Well, is there anything else in particular that you would love for our audience to know? They know how to reach you. They know about your book and how to get started with you and the opportunities that you offer, whether it's group or one-on-one.
Yeah, I do a quarterly newsletter as well. And I always try to put a little tool of a healing tool in there for people to kind of learn a little bit more about myself. And that's a good way to keep kind of seeing what I've done. Like your podcast will go out in the next newsletter so that they can kind of see these new podcasts and things that I'm on. Also on YouTube, I've started this thing called Let's Chat. And I do it with my assistant, Madison. And what we're doing is what happens in a day when I do a healing. It's kind of like behind the scenes. And we get the feedback. And she reads the feedback. And I'm like, what? You know, really? That happened? And then I get to explain what I went through and what I saw, what I felt. And it's fun. And, you know, you get to see us laughing and also going, you've got to be kidding me. And yeah, we just started that and that's on YouTube. You can see the first episode called Let's Chat.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you so much. Well, everybody, if you got value from this, please click like and subscribe. We're so grateful that Deborah Martin took time out of her busy mediumship schedule to join us and turn us on to, you know, what mediumship is and how it can be scientifically tested and what's available to you to up-level your life. Thank you so much, Deborah. And if you'd hang with me for just a second while we download the program and everybody else, we'll see you on the next episode of Next Level Healing.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Next Level Healing. Please like, subscribe, and let us know how this helped you. How can it be even more life-changing? We love hearing from you. And if you're eager to upgrade your life, click the button here or go to consulttara.com and get your free customized GPS map. Get the coordinates for where you are now and where you want to go. Clients consistently report it's faster and easier than they thought possible. Remember, you were meant for more, and it is available to you. See you right here next week for our next episode.